I was on the phone today with a friend of mine from the Jicarilla Apache Nation, and he was excited that Micah Hanks is going to be at the event because he's a big fan of Micah Hanks' website, The Graylian Report. Micah Hanks is a full-time journalist and a radio personality, and he's an author of some great books on the unexplained. He recently came out with a book called, I think it's called Magic, Mysticism, and the Molecule. So he brings an interesting perspective. And it's funny, but if you were to go to thegraylianreport.com right now, there's a picture of an American Indian there. I don't think it's a jicarilla, but it's definitely probably like a Sioux Indian or something. He's talking about soul healers. But he's definitely heavily into the paranormal as well as ufology. He's partners with Scotty Roberts. Scotty Roberts, who we spoke about earlier, the two of them, they're doing a show in October in Minneapolis called the Paradigm Symposium, where I'm going to be appearing alongside Eric Von Daniken, George Norrie, quite a few people, Philip Copins, Bill Burns, Giorgio Tsoukalos. So this is kind of an exciting event that I'm proud to be a part of. So Scotty and Micah have invited me to their event. And so that's why I'm having them at my event. And, you know, Scotty is a real good friend of mine. So, and Mike is his partner. So I'm really excited to have, you know, this group of people. The last person that I've not mentioned is Michelle Menny.
I know Michelle.
Michelle's a fantastic person. So long as she doesn't give an infomercial during her lecture on her book, we're going to be all right.
She's a promoter. What the heck? She's a great gal.
Yeah, she's a promoter. She's a wonderful person. She's so much fun. She has a great sense of humor, by the way. And she's the founder of Holistic Mountain, which is a holistic practice. And she does emotional counseling, acoustic sound practitioning, and she's just a great all around person. You know, she has this different way of approaching things, you know, from the perspective of spirituality. But this year, she's going to be talking about ancient aliens. She's going to be talking about ancient star temples.
Really?
Ancient.
That'll be interesting.
Star temples. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm telling you, I wanted to have somebody, you know, representative from all the different areas, and it would not have been complete without having someone from the, you know, that whole spiritual perspective, and I needed to have someone there, and the first person I thought of was Michelle Menny. So she's going to be talking about ancient aliens with regards to the ancient acoustic star temples. And she's a Chippewa from Turtle Mountain, one of the Turtle Mountain clan. She's really proud of her heritage, and she's going to be sharing a lot of that with everybody. And by the way, if you've ever met her, and I know you have, she is just brilliant. I mean, she comes across as this really funny person, but when you sit down and speak with Michelle, my goodness, she is just highly intelligent, very brilliant, and just her level of recollection is just really good, and I'm just like, wow. I'm wowed by her every time I speak with her, so I'm glad she's coming.
Well, once again, I'll ask, have we left anybody out?
We didn't talk too much about Ike Bishop. Ike is well known for having this historic little conference that he does every year. It's a really prestigious little event. It's called the Alamo UFO Conference. He does it every year in Alamo, Nevada, and he's had people like Paola Harris, Travis Walton. This year I'm actually the keynote speaker at his event, and that's happening in May, and he is an expert on Area 51 and the mythology surrounding the whole Area 51 S4 facility. He does a lecture on Bob Lazar. It's just a really compelling documentary on Bob Lazar and the whole history behind John Lear and those two and how those guys came about. He's been in a lot of television shows, a lot of documentaries. He's just a fantastic all-around guy. He spoke at the Sacramento MUFON conference for Cynthia Siegel, who's the state section director for Sacramento MUFON. And he did a fantastic job, and he was a little bit under the weather at the time, but, you know, he did a fantastic job. Really excited to have him.
Okay, right now, give that website again so people can go read more about this and they buy their tickets if they want.
Yes, it's sacufocon.com. When you go to the website, you'll hear an advertisement from George Norrie, who did an ad for the show, And there's buttons there, and there's pictures of the tickets. You click on the ticket. It's a real easy procedure, and you, before you know it, you're in the show. So we're excited.
Okay, Anthony, we're going to open up the phone lines and see if somebody has any questions for you, and we'll go ahead and talk about some of these other things that you brought up. There's so many things to talk about with you, Anthony. It's hard to focus in on one particular subject. You're a very interesting fellow yourself.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that.
You know, you mentioned Carrie Cassidy earlier, Anthony, and your new book is right down her alley. The one you're writing now that should be released any time. Is it out yet?
Project Lean It is the title of the book. It's not out yet. I'm just now wrapping it up. It's in the editing process right now. It'll be done by the end of this month. It'll be done by the end of this month, and it'll be available for purchase.
Now, they can get that. Do you have a separate website for that, or do you?
Yeah, we have a website called ProjectLeanIt.com. That's where the book will be available. We actually have another website called StrangeLightsPublishing.com where all the books that we do will be available. But each book has its own website. You know, just like UFO Highway has UFOHighway.com, Project Leonid has ProjectLeonid.com, and the book will be available there.
Tell us briefly about Project Leonid, L-E-O-N-I-D, is that how you spell that?
Yeah, it's L-E-O, Leo, like constellation Leo, N-I-D.
Okay. We have a caller we'll go to in a minute, but go ahead and tell us about the book first real quick. What's it about?
In 2007, I met an engineer who had worked for Lockheed Martin Corporation, Lockheed Martin Company, and he provided me with some information on this multifaceted weapon system that he was developing, but it was highly advanced, had integrated components that were alien in nature, and it deals a lot with the New World Order structure in China. So there's this Illuminati structure in China, part of this Li Ka-shing Empire. Li Ka-shing is the wealthiest man in all of Asia, who is believed to be a direct blood relative of David Rockefeller. Again, we're talking about these ancient bloodlines. And we talk about the recent news that came about that, you know, 3,500 plus miles of magnetically shielded underground facilities were constructed in China. Why are they building 3,500 miles of magnetically shielded underground facilities? Who is it for? Is it for the military or is it for the elite? Do you have to buy your way in? What is that all about?
You broke that story.
He's
ahead of everybody else on that. Let's go to the callers. Caller, you're on the air with Anthony Sanchez and Jerry Pippin.
Hi, this is Janet Saylor. I'm not sure if I'm the right caller.
Yes, well, you are a caller. And Janet, it's great to talk to you.
Thanks to you, it's how
I met Anthony at your Angel Fire conference.
It feels like old home week. I'm going to be at Anthony's conference. I'm going to actually be there as a person going instead of as a person putting on this year. I'm going to get to talk to these people.
Well, that'll be a relief.
I never get a chance to talk to them when they're there.
I know. Well, Anthony will see how it is this year, but it sounds like he's going to have a successful one, so that's good. The more successful, as you know, Janet, the busier you are.
That's right. I tell you what, I'm really proud of what Anthony is doing. He's such a bright young man. He's got so much energy, and what he's learning and what he's giving to the paranormal world is just so very important. It's like anymore we're not even having to ask the questions because we already know that you know what he's talking about is real. He's just filling in the details along with a lot of other people. We're learning history now. We're not learning paranormal.
Now, he was at your conference up in Taos this year, and I think you could probably vouch for him. I mean, he did have some sort of biological attack or something. Something happened to him up there.
Whatever's working in Dulce is not something to mess around with. by the time Anthony got to the conference in Taos, he had been attacked with something, and I don't think I've seen anybody get quite as sick as he was.
Well, Anthony, didn't you say they traced that down to being a blowfish poison or something?
Yeah, I had an Australian intelligence operative who came forward to the Camelot community who reached out to, and told me that what I had, I was exhibiting symptoms of somebody, of a failed assassination attempt, essentially. He said, typically, they have what's referred to as a nano concoction, a nanofraction cocktail of the curare plant, which is a South American toxin, toxic, very toxic South American plant, and tetrahontidae, which is the pufferfish poison. So just a nanofraction poison of the two of those combined will kill you instantly. So they believed that based on the symptoms that I have, which are unique, I don't have Bell's palsy. They still cannot identify the chemical signature of what it is that I have. Conventional medicine at least can't figure it out. I was paralyzed from my left shoulder all the way to the left side of my face to the top of my head. I know it's strange to imagine how can you be paralyzed in the entire side of just the left side of your face and your shoulder, but I am still dealing with some level of paralysis. I can't move. If anybody saw my recent live stream that I did with Jay Widener and Karen Cassidy, some people were saying, they were emailing me in private saying, my goodness, it's alarming. Your eye, it's strange. What's going on? I had to explain to them, you know, I recently succumbed to paralysis from this whatever type of attack that it was. But I'm no longer in pain, thank God. The pain has completely subsided. It's gone. And I can tell you this, when I was in Taos, the pain was unbearable. I could barely sit still. It was just unbearable. It's amazing that I got through the conference at all.
Jerry, this is the second time they've come after him that I know of, because he came to he was at the conference, my conference in 2010, not as a speaker but as a guest, and that was where you met him. And Dan, they tried to abduct him, during that conference. So whatever he's doing obviously is striking a note with people who don't want everybody else to know what's going on.
Well, back here in California, I keep getting visits from Beale Air Force Base, and they're not happy with just me existing, essentially. They don't like it because of the work that I'm doing. So I'm definitely touching on something. I was told to leave certain bits and pieces of information out of my book, else I wouldn't make it. And when I met Karen Cassidy in December, I was told that if I released my book at that time, I wouldn't make it to see February, based on the information that they knew that I had in my possession.
When talk about these things, Janet, sometimes it's pretty scary. Anyway, Anthony survived.
It was for us. I mean, 2 years in a row, they came after Anthony. I don't know whether it was because of Anthony or what it was, but I had my computers hacked into. I was getting weird messages on my answering machines, a lot of interference. So Anthony's onto something that somebody doesn't want the rest of the world to know about. I worry about him. I'm his adopted mother, and I'm feeling, maternal pangs of fear.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, I don't think you can stop Anthony from his investigations.
No, but you can't ever stop kids from doing what they want to do, can you? Kids will be kids.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have Janet come to California this year, so that's going to be really exciting for me personally. I really want her here. Really looking forward to having Janet come to California. This is going to be fantastic.
Oh, I just wanted to say hi and wish Anthony all the best. I'll talk to you all later.
Thank you, Janet.
Okay, that's Janet Saylor who called in. Anthony Sanchez is our guest. You kind of alluded to it earlier in our conversation when we were running down the people, Anthony, that are going to be in the conference. Your Dulce hypothesis, or what Colonel X has told you, and you're convinced that's completely true, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. Absolutely. Every word of it.
Leads me to the back to this, and you talked about ancient aliens earlier. There seems to be some sort of connection here, Can you explain to the audience what your research has shown?
My research essentially shows that if you take all of the religious texts and you take, you know, from multiple cultures across different regions, you're going to find cross-correlating data. And that's what I try to show in my human origins section, that show that among multiple groups, there was always this progenitor race. There was that meaning, there was this group that essentially augmented humanity's evolution by genetically altering us, making us more intelligent, and accelerating our level of evolution. Excuse me, augmenting our intelligence, accelerating our level of evolution. If you look at the fossil record, you're not going to find modern-looking humans older than 250,000 years ago. If you try and search back further than 250,000 years ago, you're going to find ape-like-looking creatures. You will not find any modern-looking human fossils. The fossil record is just a fact. Why is that? Well, the theory is that the mitochondrial if you know anything about the mitochondrial Eve theory, it states that we emerged from Africa 250 to 300,000 years ago, highly intelligent and upright. It just magically happened. And again, the fossil record, before that, you know, we can't find anything that can lead us up to that state, you know, that up to that stage in our evolution. So, but when you start looking at the religious texts of like the ancient Sumerians and the cylinder seals and the Canadian cuneiform, when you start looking at the Jay Widener's research with respect to the Nag Hammadi codices, or Zechariah Sitchin's work, you start seeing this parallel occur of all these different groups saying that there was this, you know, prior group that was not necessarily human, much more intelligent, and they created us. So that's what the human origins section of my book delves very, very deeply into, and I'm very proud of that section. I have a new book that's going to be coming out soon called Origin Theory, The Alien-Human Hybrid, and it delves deeply into the Anunnaki bloodlines, the Greys, and the human intervention theory. So again, it's an augmented piece of work based on my human origins writing inside of UFO Highway. But again, you know, UFO Highway, what overshadowed everything was the Dulcie interview that I conducted with Colonel X. So
we're talking with Anthony Sanchez here. Anthony, you went to the top of the mesa and looked around, and for a while you thought you'd picked up something there, but you later decided it was a strange waitress in a little restaurant you stopped at. Tell us what's on top of Dulcie there at the mesa, on top of the mesa. What did you see there?
If you were to go to Google Maps and you were to look at the Archuleta Mesa using satellite photography, using the satellite imagery, excuse me, you pretty much see nothing. But when you're actually there at the Archuleta Mesa, you're surrounded by this thick forest. I mean, there's just this wonderful, beautiful canopy of green. You're surrounded by meadows. You're surrounded by water sources. You're surrounded by columnar basalt rock cliffs. It's just amazing. It's absolutely gorgeous. But it's quite treacherous. It's quite barren in some areas. A lot of wildlife. And unless you're a person that actually lives there and understands the terrain, it's not recommended that you go there. I went with a seasoned guide. He was a 7-year veteran of the Jicarilla Police Department, the Jicarilla Apache Police Department. And he took us up there to the top of the mesa. It took us almost 2 hours, nearly 2 hours, to get to the top. When we were up there, we found two massive steel shipping containers. These are military-grade shipping containers for F-5 jet engines. God knows what they were doing up there, but underneath one of them, we found these wooden slats, and from beneath the wooden slats, we felt air coming up, as if there was something hollow underneath, like a hollow structure, possibly an air shaft. You know, to this day, I think it was an air shaft. But it was near a water source. We just don't know. I have the photographs, high-definition photographs of these things. I have the serial numbers. I think I even sent them to you at one time. Jerry. We have these things, but, you know, they're just out of place. What are they doing there in the middle of nowhere? They're about 500 pounds each. These things, you know, they're very heavy, very difficult to move. A Rick Prestel of Sacramento MUFON was with me at the time, as was our guide who wants to remain anonymous, completely anonymous. As a matter of fact, when we happened upon these green military containers, I mean, the look on his face was like, okay, you're not putting me on your camera. As a matter of fact, he warned us. He said, do not put me on your camera. Do not put my truck on your camera. I don't want my name associated with this. You guys found what you found. It's your discovery. Do not bring me up. I was like, okay, wow. You know, it's like he didn't want anything to do with this. And he was a Jicarilla. And he's a good friend of mine, actually. He's actually a good friend of mine. I was talking with his stepson today. So, yeah, it's quite amazing what we found up there. And it was just after that night is when I started noticing, you know, I was disoriented. And the next day at that restaurant, you know, I had that encounter with this woman who, to this day, everybody swears there is no such woman that works at that restaurant. That's when I became violently ill. And then within a day of that, I was completely paralyzed on the left side.
And you think that she might have been not of this world?
I was told.
I immediately thought of, you know, the James Bond novels and, you know, Lady Spy. But
well, I was told that... I was told that she was a manufactured product. That's exactly what I was told, that she was a manufactured product. She's part of this advanced level of technology that's just unimaginable to the average person. It's super advanced. You're talking about.
So you're saying she's some sort of robot?
Some sort of robotoid.
Some of those movies where they're half man, half machine, half
woman.
Well,
I was told from a very, very credible person who works in intelligence circles, not in Australia. I was told here in the United States, this is a person, well, I'm not going to say what they do exactly, but if you knew, you would be surprised if the person even talks to me. He told me outright that there is technology that we possess that is not necessarily ours, but that we know how to manipulate, and they're based on biomimetic principles. This is metal that essentially can be manifested by thought. You know, they can literally think this metal into specific shapes and things. And who knows? Maybe she was a part of that whole structure. I don't know.
Before you get off tonight, I want to talk a little bit more about Area 51 and what you found out about that place. And I noticed where they're building, NSA is building a big complex up in Utah. Did you find anything about the Dugway Proving Grounds when you did your research? I often thought things were going on there that we don't know about.
I was talking with Jörg Arnu a couple years back about Area 51, and I brought up Dugway because everybody at the time was calling it Area 52, if you remember. And which I think is kind of stupid because Area 51 is just a land mass designated by the number 51 from an old map. Anyway, he said that there was definitely top secret classified, you know, military projects taking place there. But there's a lot of speculation that there's a massive underground facility that's also magnetically shielded, built there at Dugway. And that it connects directly to the Denver International Underground Facility. Now, what you need to understand is that the underground facility, the nature of the underground facility in Denver, Colorado, or Denver International, which is just outside of Denver, Colorado, is the continuity of government installation. So when the shit hits the fan, the entire executive branch, members of the Senate, everybody is going to be shipped to Denver International. Now, if you look at the symbolism within the airport itself, you can see that they're damn near advertising the fact that this is an Illuminati New World Order facility. And you're not welcome there unless you belong to that club. But then guess what, Jerry? You and me, we're not in that club.
What do you think's going on at Area 51? You think there's any ET activity there? Is it all just top secret black ops?
Well, I absolutely believe that the S4 facility does exist. If it doesn't exist exactly as how Bob Lazar stated that it does, I do believe that there is something there. I do believe that there is alien technology that has been reverse engineered retrofitted and used by the military. The Boeing Softer Craft is a perfect example of this. This is a triangle-shaped craft that uses, you know, advanced anti-gravity. This is what supposedly crashed in the side of the hill in Clovis, California. I consulted with Michael Schrad. You know who Michael Schrad is?
Yes, I've had him on the air before. And
yeah,
he's got a whole, he told me one time that he thought that, we had a plane that'd leave Chicago O'Hare and land at LAX in 17 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's probably absolutely right. Most people are not aware of this, but I'm going to be talking about a portal that I know and I have proof of that exists at Area 51. Right there at Nellis, right there. There is a portal, whether it's a Stargate, I don't know, but there's some type of a portal, and I have photographic evidence of it.
What's the photograph show?
It shows a beam of light shooting into the Area 51 facility directly above the runway. And it cannot be a conventional craft. It's not a meteorite. This is an actual beam of light that is some sort of advanced transportation or portal system. I don't want to give away too much on the air right now, Jerry, because I'm saving that.
Okay.
But,
well, you know me. I'm always trying to find out.
Yeah. But I have a lot of information on that.
Okay, now we're going to run out of time here pretty quickly. So the conference again, because that's it's coming up here.
June 16th and June 17th in Sacramento, California, we're having the SAC UFO Con, which is the UFO Paranormal Summit. And we have a fantastic lineup of speakers, you know, Stanton Friedman, Mel Fabregas, Kerry Cassidy, Jay Widener, Norio Hayakawa, just a wonderful group of people. David Weatherly is going to be there. I'm really excited about having David Weatherly. Most people know him for the paranormal, but this guy is probably the world's foremost expert in the ufology side with respect to Bigelow Aerospace and the Skinwalker Ranch. I don't think there's a person alive who knows more about Skinwalker Ranch than David Weatherly. So again, just adding another element, you know, of different perspective and broader perspective to the panel that we're going to have, the discussion panels. And I think that we should have David Weatherly on your show. I think you're going to love, get a kick out of this guy. He knows quite a bit.
Well, yeah, we're going to have a lot of those people on that you have. Many of them we've had before, but others we haven't. And we're going to have that panel discussion too.
Yeah.
We got a lot of things to do yet, Anthony, on this, because truly this is a UFO paranormal summit, and I want to congratulate you for taking the time to put all of it together. I don't know how you have enough time in the day to get everything done.
Well, listen, you know,
you're writing these books. Here. You got the publishing company here that's handling you. There's a lot of things behind the scenes. You know, it takes about three times as much work as what people actually hear about on the air.
Well, this is 2012, Jerry, and I want to make sure that we have, you know, things happening this year. If, you know, I'm not one of the 2012ers. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that I want to get as much accomplished as I can, and I want to help as many people as I can.
Hey, have you talked to David Weatherly much about the Skinwalker Ranch?
A lot, actually, when I was in Taos, but it's been a while since Taos, and I would love to catch up with him on the Skinwalker Ranch. In particular, NIDS, you know, the now-defunct group NIDS, and you remember NIDS, N-I-D-S, that was funded by Bigelow Aerospace, and, yeah, he's got a lot of information on Skinwalker. You're going to love to talk to him.
Can you tell our audience, in a nutshell here, briefly, what is that all? There's some paranormal stuff going on there, evidently.
Heavily.
Creatures form out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Wolf transforms to a man. Is that right?
A vortex. A lot of people believe, especially the American Indians, believe that there's a natural paranormal vortex that exists on that land. And that's why Bigelow Aerospace bought the land. Because there's something there. There's something strange happening there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Anthony's favorite subject, and I'd like to know what that is, because you're interested in so many things. Maybe you don't have a favorite subject. I do get the sense that you still like tracking UFOs down.
You know, I do a lot of skywatching. That's probably one of the favorite things I like to do with my kids. You know, we go out skywatching at the Lincoln Airfield and several other places, and Bill Air Force Base, where they don't like me going. But my favorite subject... God, there's just too many of them to nail down just one. But the Jicarilla, I love the Jicarilla tremendously, especially the Jicarilla. They're just a fantastic people.
New Mexico and its high strangeness is what I refer to it. There's just a lot of stuff going on there. Even if you take out the UFO and the nuclear factor, there's a lot of paranormal things going on.
One thing that I've been looking into a lot lately, too, is remote viewing. I'm really fascinated by the remote viewing community. I think there's a lot we can learn from the remote viewing community.
And some of these Native American legends may not be legends. You know, they may be true stories passed down hand to hand. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that when the Dulce, when the Jicarilla Apache Nation tells you these stories about, you know, the little devils, they're talking about grays. When they're talking, when the people over in Taos Pueblo tell you about these small green creatures, potentially they're talking about grays, you know, greens. But how about greens? I don't know. I mean, they have some these wonderful legends that just really resonate with the people within the paranormal and UFO circles. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, there's some real.
Colonel X, pretty much. They told you that Dulce was there long before the government got involved.
Long before the government.
25,000 years or so, huh?
Yep, and long before the native populations were even there. This place was inhabited by something else altogether. We call them Greys, and it's not coincidental that Travis Walton was abducted by Greys, taken to a mountain where humans were working with Greys. He was describing Dulce. I'm sorry to tell you, but Travis Walton was describing Dulce. And I even talked to him about it, and he's even in agreement that possibly it was Dulce where he was taken. Me personally, I believe Travis Walton was taken to Dulce. Read his book. The book is not like the movie. The true perspective, you know, that he shares is in the book, nothing like the movie. And,
any mysterious places there in Northern California? Like the, I used to live not in Sacramento where you do, but I used to live in San Francisco.
Oh, the Mount Diablo Range, the Southern Buttes, right there. Just a lot of heavy paranormal activity.
You know, a lot of paranormal things going on, especially those old mining towns.
Oh my goodness! Right here, yeah, we got a little mining town called Volcano, and old Sacramento, old Sac, is heavily haunted. I mean, the whole place is just a lot of paranormal activity in Sacramento, the whole surrounding area. A lot of the communities up and down the 49, which is all the old gold mining communities, a lot of abandoned, you know, haunted places, and yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, we're gonna have to wrap this up, Anthony. But I wanted to. Thank you for coming on, and the conference website one more time is?
It is sacufocon.com. It is the UFO Paranormal Summit. If you go to Google, type in UFO Paranormal Summit, it'll come right up.
And we'll be talking more about it as we go along. Okay, thanks, Anthony.
Hey friends, this is George Norrie. Don't miss this year's UFO Paranormal Summit in Sacramento, California on June 16th and 17th at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel. Come see Stanton Friedman, Project Camelot's Carrie Cassidy, Area 51 legend Norio Hayakawa, Scotty Roberts and Anthony F. Sanchez, critically acclaimed author of the book UFO Highway, and many more of your favorite paranormal and UFO researchers. The UFO Paranormal Summit is bringing together the best minds in paranormal investigative, crypto hunting, and UFO alien hunting fields. For the strange, mysterious, and frightening, nothing will be left unanswered. Happening June 16th and 17th in Sacramento. Go to sacufocon.com, that's sacufocon.com, for more information. Or type UFO Paranormal Summit in your very favorite search engine or Facebook, and you can find it that way. sacufocon.com.